Good morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm your host, your ghost host this morning. This is Halloween tomorrow. It's also Tony's birthday, so I'd like to wish my husband a happy Halloween birthday. It explains so much if you know him. So it's just it's one of our favorite holidays. We love to decorate and just celebrate the whole weekend. So we have a great show for you today. It's been a wonderful week. Thursday morning, I got up and I thought, wow, I can really wear a sweater this morning. It was so nice because when we come into the station, we have to, bring a sweater because it's cool inside with the air conditioning. But Thursday morning, walking outside, it was great for just wearing a sweater. So I have one on today, and we had lots of rain this week. I'm very pleased. Yesterday, and then also this morning, we got a little bit of rain. So it's been a great week all the way around. It's brought the cooler temperatures. Yes, it really feels like the beginning of fall. Get your sweaters out and hang them over your chair or wrap them around your waist. At least you can take them out of the closet. It's going to be in the 60s and 70s this week. So it's going to be a great week. I'd like to say good morning to everyone who's listening and out there. We have really great listeners who text and call. And that's Gary and also Jim and Bob up in the North Panhandle. Bruce is in the Big Bend. Beverly's also up there. And then my daughter, Teresa Jean, she hates when I say that, but she is my Teresa Jean. And she's on her way home. She's just leaving her night shift as a nurse over in Daytona Beach. So I'd like to say good morning to her. And then also to my cousins, Mary and Wilf in Scotland. They're listening. And so everybody out there, good morning. It's just great. This is another big announcement as far as listeners to the Better Lawns and Gardens. This weekend, we will hit the $15,000 downloads of the podcast Better Lawns and Gardens. So if you've ever missed a show and want to share it with your family and friends, go to Better Lawns website, or you can go to Audio Boom, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, and you can hear the show and download it and listen at your convenience. I also post it on the Better Lawns Facebook page every Saturday night. So I'd like to say good morning to Lizzie. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. You're always so bubbly in the morning, and it puts me in such a great mood.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's just because I know that we're going to be talking about really cool stuff.
It is. We do have good stuff. So, Lizzie, tell me, how do you celebrate Halloween?
Well, we usually have already done, like, pumpkin carving. That's already over with the grand brats. Yeah. And they're gonna go trick-or-treating, but I'll be here in the studio, but I'm gonna catch him after. And it's my birthday week, and it's my grandson's birthday too, so we should kind of share a birthday a day apart. So we all do the family celebration on Sunday nights. So yeah, so whenever I skate out of here, they're gonna do the trick-or-treating while I'm in here. I'll skate out of here and then head over, and then we'll do a big family birthday dinner.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, then happy birthday.
Well,
that's
thank
wonderful
you.
That is I love it because that means you're a Scorpio. And so we all, there's so many Scorpios in my family, my husband, my daughter. And, it's just, it's a great, great astrological sign. So do bats scare you, Lizzie?
No, I love them. And if I could figure out how to have a bat house on our property, I would do it. But I had heard rumors, or someone had told me at one time, that you actually have to get a specialist to come out and locate the exact perfect location on your property. And I was just like, okay, never mind.
No. Well, we'll ask Sherry about that today.
Ooh, good.
Okay, because we have a really great show for guests. We're going to be talking about bats, and we're going to be talking about bat conservation. So that's going to be very important. So you're going to want to listen to that. And that's a great question for you. I don't want anyone to be scared of bats. I have wonderful memories, childhood memories of bats. When my parents, after dinner at dusk, they would go play tennis on occasion, and in Winter Haven and in Tavares down at Lake Dora, tennis courts. And they would play tennis while the kids, we would throw tennis balls up in the air to bring the bats out of the trees. And then also, to right at dusk time, and we would throw the tennis balls up, And then the bats would swoop down, and then they'd kind of hone in on it, and then fly away. And it was so cool.
Our property, it has a lot of bats on it. So I love to go out whenever it's dusk and watch them chase the dragonflies and the mosquitoes, and they swoop. I love it. I love bats, literally. So if I could figure out how to have one of those little bat houses on my property, that would be excellent. That would make
my
day.
Have you ever seen them nursing their babies?
That I have not.
Oh, it's so cute. It's so cute. They're mammals, and they nurse their babies, and sometimes they have twins, so they are nursing two at one time. It's just amazing. So as a University of Florida, Florida Master Naturalist Educator, I would take trips to experience the classes to experience the University of Florida Bat House, and that's really cool in Gainesville. And the Luby Conservancy, you can go and see bats there when they're open. And not only can you see Florida native bats, because we have a lot of native bats, but huge Malayan bats with 4 to 6 feet long wingspan.
Shut up.
I know.
Really?
I'm telling you, 4 to 6 feet long. They're huge. And it's we have some really incredible places to see bats. So they are mammals. They nurse their young. And now they only have faces a mother could love, but they are cute. So we have Sherry Clark, president of the Bat Conservancy. She's going to be with us this morning to help us understand these gentle creatures of the night. And then in our second hour, we have Denise Schreiber, a.k.a. Mrs. Know-It-All. She's going to be with us to help spell out why witches are so feared and how pumpkins became a tradition and the real simple, not scary, reason for Halloween in the garden, too, as well. So we have a wonderful show for you. We'd love to have you call in with your gardening questions, and you can text me. Let me know you're listening to us out there, 23680, or you can call 1-888-455-2967. We have Bats in the Belfry coming up with Sherry Clark. I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Have you ever noticed how God chose men in their senior years to take part in huge moments for his kingdom? Noah finished building the ark when he was 600. Abraham left his home at 75 to move to an unknown land where God would lead him. Moses was 80 when he stood up to the most powerful man in the world and led a nation to freedom. No retirement for them. In fact, God's word doesn't even mention retirement for anyone but the Levites. For everyone else, it's just not there. Stepping back from certain vocational pressures and responsibilities can be necessary, but our lives are ultimately meant to serve Christ for all of our days. The wisdom that comes with age is valuable in living out the faith, and we're called to use it and share it. Are you entering the retirement years? Ask God how He wants to use you. This next season might be your greatest adventure yet. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
To subscribe to devotions, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author Author's Guide to Publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. With us this morning is Sherry Clark. She's the president of the Florida Bat Conservancy. Sherry's also a longtime member of the Bat Conservation International Organization and the Xerces Society. She formed Bats Belfry, a privately funded conservation organization dedicated to conserving Florida bats, primarily through public outreach and education. She travels extensively to educate the public about the value of bats, and she builds and installs bat houses to help mitigate lost trees, tree roosts, while encouraging public participation in community conservation. So I would like to welcome this morning Sherry Clark. Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for asking me to come on. I'm going to talk about the subject that's nearest and dearest to my heart this morning, and that is our wonderful little bat friends.
I think that's wonderful. So, Sherry, you're kind of a creature of the night yourself. You told me that, you know, you kind of stay up all night. Tell us about how you got started taking care of bats and founding the Bat Belfries organization.
It's been an interesting journey. I've been working with wildlife and bats in particular for nearly 40 years, so a very long time. And it's sort of evolved and developed and got a life of its own. The more I learned about these fascinating animals, the more involved I became. And I've always been able to use my position around the country in bat conservation as well as conservation land management to try and further my own understanding of these important animals. And it was sort of a natural segue for me once I stopped working for government agencies and other types of conservation groups to sort of develop my own take on conservation management for bats here in Florida, which is where I currently live.
That's wonderful. So now what are the current bat populations in Florida? And, you know, what are the numbers?
Well, it's a hard number to come up with. You know, We can throw numbers out there all morning and probably never really get close to the target. One of the things we've learned the hard way about bats, and we're still developing research about methods for performing active surveys, but they're fast flyers. They're out in the dark at night when we can't see them very well. And we can't, of course, hear them either without the assistance of acoustics devices. So it's an interesting animal, but difficult to study in many ways. And since we can't fly and follow it, at least not until recently, it's been difficult for us to know where they go, where they live, where they're foraging, and because they're very rapid in their flight and they're very mobile. So populations, we know it's commonly known in the conservation world that bat populations have been declining for decades. That's mostly due to habitat loss, but it's also now due to white nose syndrome, which was introduced in 2006 to the United States. It has killed some estimates are as many as 12 million bats around the country at this
point.
And it's also obvious to us that the blossoming of the wind energy industry, wind turbines, have taken the lives of countless tens of thousands of bats as well as migrating songbirds over the last decade. So that is an additional stress now that bats are having to deal with. So we know populations are declining. How rapidly is sort of still up in the air depends on who you ask. Personally, I think populations are declining much more quickly than we even understand, and it's going to have widespread impacts if we can't find a way around it.
I think so, too. So how many bat species does Florida have?
Florida supports 13 bat species year-round.
That's a great number for Halloween.
Absolutely. Some of them are active year-round and here year-round. Some are visitors only in the winter months or only in the summer months. It's not that much different than some of our bird populations that kind of migrate through. But the 13 species we have here in the state are fairly consistent. We've been seeing those populations decline. There, we do have two federally listed as endangered species that are native to Florida, and we have a third one that is being considered by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So it's definitely a number that we expect to continue to dwindle, but we hope that we can find ways around that with bat house use and some of the other things that we can try and come up with.
Sure. So now, Lizzie, you had a question about bat houses.
I was told by somebody that I have to have a specialist come out and find the exact area on my property that would be beneficial for a bat house and not to just put up a bat house. Is that correct? Or can I go and, because we have a lot of bats on our property.
Yeah, you know, it's not that difficult if you think like a bat, all right? And that's one of the things people sometimes have a hard time understanding. Bat house location is based on the bats using the bat house during the daylight hours, which is exactly opposite of us. So instead of us thinking about a nice, quiet place to sleep at night, we need to think about a warm, dry, sunny location for bats because they want to stay nice and warm during the day. And so the first rule of thumb for bat houses in Florida and really around the world is they don't get tacked to a tree. It's too easy for climbing predators like cats and especially snakes here in Florida to climb the tree and eat the bats. So bat houses on trees are a very bad idea. Also, the bat house would be underneath the tree canopy. Presumably, it would have some type of vegetation at the top of the tree. And that would shade the bat house for a good portion of the day, and that is also something we want to avoid, believe it or not, even here in the hot southern atmosphere that we have in Florida with our humidity and our heat in the summertime, bats are still looking for a roost that is going to receive about 6 hours of direct sunlight on it each day. So those are kind of the criteria, and it's not that hard. Bat houses need to be 12 feet off the ground. That's the minimum. That's the hardest part. It's hard for people to figure out where to put a bat house away from trees on its independently on its own pole and get it 12 feet high. And that's really the challenge.
Oh, those are great tips. So, you know, if you can get that down 12 feet high, so that would need, you would need a timber that was, you know, almost 15 feet long or maybe just a pole. Can they go on a pole?
Certainly, yeah. When we do installations, what we do is we create a pivot pole mount out of pressure-treated lumber. That mount gets concreted into the ground 3 feet deep, and then we attach to the top of that mount through bolting a 2-inch diameter Schedule 40 aluminum pipe that is 12 feet long. So the pivot mount starts 5 feet off the ground, and then you add the 12-foot pole to that, so our bat houses are getting about 17 feet in height.
That's really cool information. Thank you so much. So what other sources do bats need? Do you need to provide water for them? Or, you know, what kind of vegetation should go around?
You know, it's really up to the individual homeowner. Some bat people that like bat houses and watch their bats choose to have just grass underneath the bat house or some type of low-growing ground cover, and that's perfectly fine. But if you'd like to put a bat house in the middle of a garden, that is a wonderful solution because the guano will feed the plants, and the bats, when they emerge every night, are going to provide comprehensive insect control to help keep your plants from being eaten by, you know, the larva of moths and other kinds of beetles and different types of insects that would lay eggs on the plants.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind that if you have a pollinator garden and you put a bat house in the middle of it, it's not going, you know, the bats are not going to interact with your daytime pollinators because they're not active during the day. So by the time the bats emerge after sunset, most daytime pollinators are already roosting and hidden, and they're only going to be eating the nighttime flying insects.
Okay. So do they eat dragonflies? Because I know dragonflies are really good at fighting or, you know, getting mosquitoes. And so do they both compete for the mosquitoes?
Yeah, you know, bats are generalists in Florida. They eat just about anything that's out there flying around at night, with rare exception. We know from guano studies that bats eat about 30% of their nightly diet in mosquitoes of some form or another. Keep in mind, there's over 100 different species of mosquitoes that call Florida home. So it could be marsh mosquitoes one night that are hatching over a waterway, and the next night it could be the Aedes aegypti, which is the one that carries the yellow fever and Zika down in South Florida. So there's a lot of variety in what these animals consume based on the habitat. But in general, they're going to eat all night-flying insects. Now, lots of people are concerned about the dragonflies because we have so few of those left as well. But, you know, the real culprit for dragonfly conservation, as well as other types of insects and vertebrates, is the use of pesticides, the widespread, indiscriminate use of pesticides and chemicals in lawns and gardens. And honestly, that's doing much more damage to the habitat and to the insect population than bats ever would do. So, yes, they will eat dragonflies if they can catch them, but their preference typically is going to be for moths and beetles, termites, flying ants, and then, of course, mosquitoes.
Okay, that's really good, because I always tell people not to spray, you know, that routine or monthly pesticide treatment if you don't have any insects. We should be spot treating instead. So I appreciate that. So so how where can people go see bats up close?
Well, in your earlier segment, I was listening in a little bit there toward the end of it, and there are some places people can go publicly to watch bats. University of Florida bat houses, all three of those bat houses on Lake Alice on the U.S. campus are all good spots. You do, if you plan to take a trip to Gainesville and you don't live in the immediate area and it's going to be a road trip for you, you really do want to call ahead to the museum, the Museum of Natural History, and get the bat viewing schedule. You can also get on their website and look at the bat viewing schedule, because they're just far enough north for those bats to be impacted by cold fronts. So if it's a cool winter and if there's been several cold fronts come through, the chances are that the bats in those bat houses will have thinned down considerably. So to get the full impact, you want to plan your trip for nice warm days and nice warm evenings. There are some other bat houses that are not quite as large on public lands that can be visited. The Fort Cooper State Park in Inverness has a nice, big, beautiful bat house right on the edge of their waterway. Chinsegut Wildlife Management Area outside of Brooksville has several large bat houses that are occupied most of the year. The Suwannee River Music Park has a nice big bat house that has been well publicized by people who go to music festivals and use the campground there. And so, you know, there are lots of other types of bat houses up on private lands and private individuals, but those are pretty much the main places. Luby Bat Conservancy, you mentioned earlier, is a good place to go. I believe that they are doing tours, but you do have to call in advance to arrange for that since the COVID-19 outbreak. But they do have recently expanded their focus to include insectivorous or Florida native bat species. So there are some native bats there that you can see as well. So there are some opportunities for sure. And then, of course, there's zoos and ecological parks that have displays of large bats that you can also visit.
Those are wonderful resources. Thank you, Sherry. So tell us where people can find out more about your Bats Belfry organization and more information about bats, because I can tell you love them.
Oh, I certainly do. Absolutely. You know, our website at floridabats.org is a great resource for anyone who's looking to put up a bat house. We have I've taken it upon myself to post my plans for a three-chambered bat house on that website. I am so busy building and installing bat houses all over the state, there's no way I can possibly provide enough bat houses for the demand.
I understand that, Sherry. Thank you. Yeah. We've got a hard break coming up. I certainly appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you for sharing your love of bats and the need to protect this wonderful species. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is your time to get your questions answered. Call me at 1-888-45-LAWNS or 23680 for your text. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Have you ever noticed how God chose men in their senior years to take part in huge moments for his kingdom? Noah finished building the ark when he was 600. Abraham left his home at 75 to move to an unknown land where God would lead him. Moses was 80 when he stood up to the most powerful man in the world and led a nation to freedom. No retirement for them. In fact, God's word doesn't even mention retirement for anyone but the Levites. For everyone else, it's just not there. Stepping back from certain vocational pressures and responsibilities can be necessary. but our lives are ultimately meant to serve Christ for all of our days. The wisdom that comes with age is valuable in living out the faith, and we're called to use it and share it. Are you entering the retirement years? Ask God how He wants to use you. This next season might be your greatest adventure yet. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
To subscribe to devotions, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-432-3916, 800-432-3916, 800-432-3916, that's 800-432-3916.
And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I want to thank Sherry Clark, the president of the Florida Bat Conservancy, for coming on and giving us a lot of great information. I'd never heard that about how tall the poles should be and how to do it effectively. So that was really great information. If you missed the interview, you'll hear it later when we post it to the Facebook page and also on betterlawns.com and all the different podcast areas. You can listen to it. So I certainly do appreciate that. This is your time to get your questions answered. You can give me a call, 1-888-45-LAWNS, or you can text 23680 and let me know, your questions, because I love to help you with your gardening questions, and it will just help. Give me your name and your city where you are, because that has a lot of relevance in how I answer your question, what zone you're in, and so that really helps out. So, over the week, I got some great questions on the website. So this one is from Barbara in Winter Garden. She said, what can I plant as a blooming, low-growing shrub in a shaded area? Well, thank you for emailing, Barbara. That's a great question, because we talk about having full sun and Florida being so sunny and, you know, what can go in full sun areas. But we also have a lot of places and a lot of cities and areas that have beautiful shaded trees, live oaks, and, you know, really deep canopies. So my first question is, as a designer, I would want to know, what kind of landscape do you want? Do you want a really tropical look, or do you want that woodland northern, look that's a little bit more foresty? And so that would be the difference. So I have two different sets of answers for you. So you can use shrubs for color with the colorful foliage. So that will help on both themes because, you know, sometimes it is difficult for flowers to bloom in the shade. But for your blooming tropical themed shrubs, you can put in alocasias, colocasias, bromeliads, crotons, ferns, shrimp plants bloom in the shade, stromanthas, that trio star is just beautiful, Persian shield, gardenias, and dracaenas. So those are all different. They either have flowers or colorful foliage, and that's for your tropicals. If you'd like a woodland theme, you can put in azaleas, the fashion azaleas, the red ruffle azaleas. Oak leaf hydrangea is a native. Different types of ferns, camellias, shishigashiras, rex begonias. Begonias are really cool in the shade. Then also hostas. From Central Florida up north, you can plant hostas. Coleuses. Again, Persian shield will do well. And then gardenias, peace lilies, and big blue liriope. You can also put in Japanese forest grass. So that's a great question. Thank you for asking, Barbara, and send me pictures. I'd love to see what it looks like. Let's go to Dom in Port St. Lucie. Hi, Dom. Good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I've got just a couple of issues. I had a terrible influx of white flies, and I've tried everything, and I'd like to get rid of them. I don't just want to control them.
Okay. So can you tell me what they're on?
They started on sweet potato leaves, and they've now gotten onto my tomato plants.
Okay. All right. So you need to use either an insecticidal soap or and Garden Safe is one that you can use around vegetables. Okay. So Garden Safe insecticidal soap will work. You can also use a spinosad too as well.
What was that three? I'm sorry.
Spinosad.
Spinosad.
Right. And so you can also use neem oil, but I would be, you know, just careful using it around, you know, the actual fruit and vegetables. So the tomatoes are on their way out. So if you don't need to spray right now, I mean, as long as we keep having a little bit of warm temperatures, they'll keep producing. You know, tomatoes and the sweet potatoes. The sweet potatoes should be just fine going ahead and spraying the leaves of that.
Yeah. I've not had an issue with tomatoes being on the way out. As a matter of fact, all winter, I have harvested tomatoes for
the
last 5 years.
Wonderful. What kind do you use?
I like the yellow brands, yellow and Cherokee purple.
I like Cherokee purple.
Of course, all the I had a tomato called Papageno, and it just continues to bring itself up every year, and I get thousands of tiny tomatoes, gobble tomatoes.
Wow, pretty cool. Oh, and you see, and you're in Port St. Lucie, too, so you're going to be fine. Are you right there on the river?
I used to be. I am now inland St. Lucie West.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Try that.
I do have one other question.
Sure. Well, you got me. Sure.
I had a volunteer come up, and I identified it pretty much as Turkish eggplant, and it's taken over a 4x8 bed, and it's got all sorts of spines on it. And I thought I was going to be able to harvest it, but size-wise, they're only the size of golf balls, and I thought they were going to be the size of baseball. So I've been very reluctant to eat them because I'm not absolutely certain if they were Turkish eggplant. And do you know anything about that at all?
No, I don't. I've never heard of Turkish eggplant, to be honest with you. So I would be very careful with eating it. If you can send me a picture, that would be helpful. And I kind of would know what it's looking like. And you said it was purple?
No, they're not purple. They start out orange. They start out green. They turn to a slight orange.
Don't eat that. Pull it out. Don't let it go to seed. Okay? So,
okay. They're all over the place now. And they've got all sorts of spines on them.
Yeah, it's no, really I know exactly what it is, and the name escapes me. Oh, if you know it, give me a call. It's early in the morning, and I haven't had my second cup of tea. But that is an invasive, and it is poisonous, so don't eat it.
Oh, great. Okay, then I'm going to get rid of it.
Please. Well, anything with thorns, you know, you really, you know, should get rid of, especially if it's invasive. All right, Dom?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening. You know, it's just my Rolodex is going, and it's right on the tip of my tongue, what I want to call it. And it's right there. So I will, oh, my goodness. Okay, so, but give me a call if you know what it is. 1-888-45-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And Lizzie, I just want to go to my Rolodex and go, okay, what is that? I know it. I can see it in my face. I can see it, the spines and everything on it.
I live by the life of when in doubt, throw it out. So when he was just like, I didn't know if I should eat it or not, I'm going, no.
No, the mother comes out in you and go, don't put anything in your mouth
exactly.
That you don't know what it is.
On point.
That is so true. So so Lorna, and she didn't give me her city, so I don't know what that is, but she said, we recently purchased a fishtail palm and planted it in the ground. Some of the leaves are turning brown. Can you please advise since we don't want to lose it? And she said, my boyfriend added Miracle-Gro potting mix in and around the plant when he planted it, and he's watered it some. Okay, so when we are transplanting palms, they do go through kind of a little shock, especially if they've been in the ground a little while. And then also, too, when we plant them, there's no need to add potting soil. Okay. And then potting soil with fertilizer in it, there's no need for that either as well. So you just want to have them adapt to the soil that they're going to be in. And so I think it just went through a little bit of shock. The potting soil may have contributed to that, but it's going to recover. So don't worry about that. It should take a few weeks. Cut the brown fronds off and see if you see new growth coming. So that should be fine. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about that. But when we're planting a single plant shrub or tree, no need to amend a single hole. And the reason for that is that we, the plants in a root ball is in a soil that's already been established by the nursery. So it's already in good potting soil. So when you plant it and you break those roots open, then they are going to start producing new roots. They're going to go through that little mini shock and start producing more roots. And they don't know what they're doing and they keep growing. Well, if you've amended that hole with more organic material, it's going to go into that soil and it's going to love it. And so it's going to continue to keep growing. But then the next time we have a growth spurt, either with a change of seasons or you put fertilizer down after it's starting to, after it's established, then it's going to, not be in shock anymore. And it's going to go out into, further out into the soil that's there naturally. And it's going to be possibly more sugar sand or a different type of soil. And it's not going to like it. And it's going to turn back in and it's going to start using all those good soil up. And it's going to girdle itself. So what you do is you don't amend a single hole. It's going to go into shock. It's going to put those root systems out. It's not going to know what it's doing. And it's going to be in that soil that it's going to be adapting to. And it's going to like it. And then the next time it's got a growth spurt, it's already in the original soil. And it's going to be okay. So no, you can amend the entire garden bed is recommended, but not a single hole. All right. So please give me a call, 1-888-455-2967. We'll get to Henry after the break. And if you have a text message, thank you so much. Somebody texted me soda apple. Thank you so much. That's exactly what it is. Soda apple, solarium virum. And you see it out in the woods all the time. I'm surprised, Lizzie, you don't see it out in your property.
We've done very well. Our elders of going through and clearing out the property and keeping up with that. So, yes.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for the soda apple. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Stay tuned.
The sun on your face. There's nothing like experiencing Florida's waterways on a personal watercraft. Knowing how your PWC operates will keep you safe on the water. Remember, PWCs need thrust to change direction, so use a controlled amount of throttle to turn. Know your limits, never ride recklessly, and always wear your life jacket. Safe boating is no accident. To learn more, visit the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation.
800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. That's 800-689-9715.
They say practice makes perfect. But practice can also save a life. It can save your teen's life. Inexperienced driving is the leading cause of teen vehicle crashes. Your teen needs practice behind the wheel. Practice driving with your teen at different times of the day. Practice when it's raining and when the sun is shining. Practice in the evening when it's starting to get dark. Practice in an empty parking lot. Practice on the highway in rush hour traffic. Just practice. It can save their life. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $2 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 45 blue pills or 45 yellow pills for $99 and add 5 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call us at 800-975-1374 and get your 50 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-975-1374. 800-975-1374. 800-975-1374.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is the best time to get your phone calls answered, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. And a big thank you to texter Cameron in Grant, Florida, which is down in Brevard County. That was great. It's soda apple. And soda apples look like little tomatoes with really spiky thorns. They are vicious. I'm talking about scary for Halloween. That soda apple is scary if you find it on your property. And it spreads like wildfire. So, yeah, soda apple is not good. Thank you, Cameron, for jumping to my rescue. I really appreciate that. So if you have a question, you can give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. And so lots of great questions this week. So Bruce in the Big Bend, in the Panhandle, he said, Teresa, I'd like to seed my yard in the Big Bend area of Florida. I was wondering if there's a grass seed that you can plant with winter rye so that when the winter rye goes away in the spring, the other grass will have a head start. And don't you wish, Bruce, that would be that would be ideal, right? But actually, because we're in Florida, we have to have warm season grasses that can withstand the heat. We do not have a seed variety or grass seed variety that will make it through the winter time. And so we use the rye if you'd like to keep mowing your yard in the winter. If you like to keep mowing in the winter, you can always apply the rye. But the grass seeds, you need to apply like Bahia grass and centipede. You need to put down in the springtime when the temperatures are at least 77 degrees up through about 85. When we first start getting to that temperature, which is usually in May, June, then you can go ahead and put down the Bahia grass seed. That's, you know, will be good. But your ryegrass is going to stay alive up there in North Florida through about April, early May. So, but you can lay sod and plug any time of the year. Let's go to Henry and Gotha. Good morning, Henry. How are you?
Well, top of the morning to you.
Thank you so much.
My question, I would imagine, is kind of a basic question.
I've got some areas in my St. Augustine grass that seem to be, stressed or whatever. My question is, to give it a boost, if you will, what should I apply? Should I apply just regular topsoil? Should I apply potting soil, sand, or the product known as black cow?
Yeah, no, black cow's great. But let me just ask you, why do you want to just boost it a little?
Well, it's some areas that just it doesn't look as healthy as the rest of the lawn. It's
okay.
Just a couple areas. It just looks stressed or whatever.
Okay. And so, have you fertilized this summer at all?
Yes, ma'am.
When did you fertilize it last?
Well, I have a commercial company handle the fertilization and all that stuff. So I'm not really sure as to when it was last done because it's done commercially. It's done on a regular schedule, I would assume.
Okay. Well, I want you to pay a little bit more attention to when they're fertilizing because that's really important in what they're putting down. And so if they fertilized in the last few weeks, which is when they should have fertilized, and so then you don't need to fertilize again. The topsoil and the sand and all those other ingredients are not, you can do it, but I'm just worried about putting layers on top of layers. Now, you can add, put black cow manure on it and just sprinkle that around on the top of it, and that would be fine. But if they fertilized, your grass should start picking up. So that's what I'm kind of interested in is when it was fertilized and why that area is not picking up if they fertilized it correctly. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. Yes, it does.
Okay, so why those areas are not doing well? So there has to be another issue. And so you could always put down organic amendments on your soil, and black cow is certainly one of them. But I would want to find out why this area is not doing well. If you want to send me a photograph of those areas, that would be good. I'm just thinking that maybe it's a root system issue or that there's insect issues happening there. So have you noticed that?
No, I haven't. Not as far as insects go. I haven't. I'm starting to think possibly maybe it's a fungus issue.
Okay. That could be definitely it. Yeah. Oh, just because of the color. What is the color?
It's kind of a light brownish color.
Okay. And
instead
so
of green.
Is it crinkly or is it kind of wilted?
Wilted.
Yeah. It could be definitely a fungus issue this time of the year, with all the rains that we've been having. How often do you fertilize? I'm not sorry.
Well, again,
no, excuse me. I'm taking that question right back. How often do you water?
It depends. I control the watering, which is, predicated on the rain. So, if we get rain, I back off. If we haven't had rain, I step it up. It just depends on what we've received, weather-wise.
Okay.
But
that doesn't really help me because it doesn't tell me how often you're watering or how much you're watering. So it could.
I was just going to say, for instance, if we had gone a while without rain, I would rain twice weekly.
Uh-huh.
And depending on the type of sprinklers, some of which I would run for, an hour. And then depending on the other type of sprinkler heads, I might run for 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, that could be the issue then, because I want you to St. Augustine grass doesn't need a lot of water. Okay. And so the rainfall that we've had this summer should have been enough without turning it on at all. And so I want you to calibrate your system. Do you know how to do that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. So if you know how to do that, I want you to make sure that your St. Augustine grass is getting about an inch and a half of water a week, and that's all. So putting your irrigation system on for an hour, maybe giving it twice or three times as much water that it needs. So the timing should be exactly what it would take to put down a half inch if you're doing it twice a week, or 1 to 1.5 inches if you're doing it once a week. All right. So if you'll calibrate your sprinkler, see how long it takes your sprinkler system to fill those tin cans up And that's how long you need to water for. So I wouldn't just put it on for an hour or just put it on for 30 minutes. Because in Gotha, some areas of Gotha are really wet and swampy. Is your soil moist? Do you have a lot of earthworms in it?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, I'd say lately we've gotten quite a bit of rain over here in Gotha, or a lot of moisture anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Okay, so I would just find out how long you need to water and do that. You can always spray with a fungicide before you get the fungus. So possibly next year, what I would do starting in June is going ahead and using a preventative fungicide and putting it down in those areas. And, you know, that should help you out. But I would probably cut back on the water and it'll be just much better.
Okie dokie. Sounds great.
Thank you so much, Henry, for calling and staying on.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate that. And we have Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning. This is Cynthia at Mead Botanical Garden in Winter Park.
Hi, Cynthia.
And I'm calling. Hey, good morning, Teresa. I'm calling to invite everyone out to our annual plant sale that's coming up this Friday afternoon and all day Saturday. And we have a big variety of plant vendors and activities for the kids, and just as always, you know, real high quality plants and variety of speakers and beer garden, and just going to be a great, great time. Isn't the weather perfect for a plant sale?
Look, every day is perfect for a plant sale, you know, even in the rain. And so, no, I'm so excited you called. That's a great location, Mead Botanical Gardens. You can go out and have a beautiful day with the children and then bring home plants. What a better day can you have?
Absolutely. And in case anyone doesn't know, we're on the south end of Denning Drive in Winter Park, just north of Orlando. And so we hope everyone comes out.
Oh, that's wonderful. So now, what time is the plant sale from?
Absolutely. On Friday afternoon, we call it early shopping, from 2 to 6 p.m. on Friday afternoon. And then again on Saturday, we open up at 8 a.m. and we'll run till 4. So we've got lots of great things. And parking is free and admission is free as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for calling. I wish you much luck. Let us know how you do.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, Cynthia, thank you. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens in our next hour. We have Denise Schreiber. She's a nationally known garden writer and the author of Eat Your Roses, Pansies and Lavender, and 49 Other Delicious Flowers. She's going to have you spellbound as we discuss Halloween, also known as Samhain, in the garden. Stay with us. I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today.
800-531-1550. That's 800-531-1550.
Paid for by US Med.